Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Kapijana Balava Kiribada Dari Kapijana Balava Kiribada Dari Sarvanandana Prajjana Randana Yamuna Chiravanachari Yamuna Chiravanachari Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kapi Jana Balava Kiri Varadari Kapi Jana Balava Kiri Varadari Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yasara Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Janina Kiravana Kari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14.
40.
No, it's not. No, it's... it's 43. 43 and 44. Okay. Okay, we'll do this one responsibly. 43. Api svit parya bhuntas tvam.
Api svit parya bhuntas tvam.
Sambho jan vidha balakan. Chugupshitam kama kinchit. Kritavana yadakshma akshamam. Api svitpaya bhuntastvam. Sambhojan vidabalakan. Jugupshitam kama kinchit. Kritavana yadakshamam. Api svit parya bhuntastvam. Sambho jan vidha balakan. Jigupshitam kama kinchit. Kritavana yadakshamam. Parya bhuntastvam.
Sambhojan vidha balakan.
Yugupshitam kama kinchit Kritava nayarakshamam. Ladies, Pisipaya bhaktastvam Sambhojan vidabalakan Yugupshitam kama kinchit Kritavanayarakshanam. At peace with, if it was so that, Parya, by leaving aside, Bhunkta, have dined, Tvam, yourself, Sambhojan, deserving to dine together, Vridha, the old men, Balakan, boys, Jugupshitam, abominable, Karma, action, Kinchit, something, Kritavan, you must have done, Na, not, Yat, that which, Akshamam, unpardonable. Translation, have you not taken care of old boys, excuse me, of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Please repeat. Have you not taken care of old men?
Have you not taken care of old men?
And boys who deserve to dine with you?
Have you left them
and taken your meals alone?
Have you committed some unpardonable mistake
which is considered to be abominable? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is the duty of a householder to feed first of all the children, the old members of the family, the Brahmins and the invalids. Besides that, an ideal householder is required to call for any unknown hungry man to come and dine before he himself goes to take his meals. He is required to call for such a hungry man thrice on the road. The neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of the old men and children, is unpardonable. So maybe I'll just say something about this verse first. Om Gyanam Charmandasyagin Anjanam Shalakaya Chakshuram Maritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So this is gives some hint of the Vedic society, which is enjoined in the scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many verses. The word unpardonable is quite a strong word. It means that you can't get the president's pardon or the king's pardon. It's unpardonable there's no forgiveness if you do not act for the benefit of others in the Vedic system. Krishna says in the 11th canto, he says, Ahimsa Satyam Asteyam Akama Krodha Lobataha Bhuta Priya Hiteha Cha. He says that non-violence, truthfulness, mercifulness, and desire for the welfare of others are the duties of all members of society. So this is the duty to be concerned about the welfare of others. Of course, householders have specific duties which are different from brahmacharis and sannyasis.
that and Vanaprastha. So the householder's duty is to actually maintain the other three vanas by three ashrams, by feeding them and maintaining them, giving them contributions, seeing to their welfare. But actually, one should help all others. Of course, we have the best kind of help, being devotees, being followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Greatest charity is to give people the holy name. The holy name is the most valuable thing. So, preaching, going out in Harinam, going out distributing books, this is the greatest charity. But aside from that, we also have to feed people. And as we know, Prabhupada wanted every temple to have at least 20 plates of prasadam, in case, maybe it was 20, I'm not sure the exact number. Anyone know? Anyway, it was a number of plates of prasadam, of excellent, well-made prasadam, ready to give to anybody who came to the temple. And Prabhupada was always adamant that everybody eats prasadam. So, you know, Vedic culture really expressed the need to help all others, and so we could say that, I mean, they just got Obamacare in America a few years ago. Of course, certain people tried to get rid of it because they don't really care about anybody else. This is all about number one, all about yourself, how much you can get. This is modern society, you know, just try to make as much money as you can. Like Bill Gates, no, I shouldn't mention any names, but he's got billions of dollars. Okay, so he's got the Bill Gates Foundation, he gives a bit of money. But you know, it's not really beneficial because it doesn't help anybody, it doesn't feed people prasadam. He wants to give people education, to educate people to be fully stressed out like people are in the Western countries. This is false education. Let them stay in the village. Let them be happy. Let them keep their family. Why go to stupid university to learn some nonsense education so you can get a job in a technological... whatever. Anyway, Hare Krishna. My rant for the day. Yes, let them stay in the village. Let them be simple. Let them, you know, have cows and grow their own food. That's real education. Stay where you are. Don't become westernized. The westernization, I mean, I was reading about the Industrial Revolution, how they exploited children. You know, child labor. Young kids, they would work hard in the coal mines and all these factories. The British were, they were so bad. Because they had laws against child labor, so I guess Lord Chaitanya's benediction moon is making things a little bit better. But basically, you know, they do have the National Health Service over there in England, which is one good thing, I guess you could say. National Health Service has been going for some time, so you can get free medical help if you need it. But at the same time, you know, they rip off India and they exploit the rest of the world. But they just look after the British. They don't have a National Health Service if you're not British. But actually, it's the duty of human beings to help all other living entities. And this is actually Vedic culture. So there are many verses. Krishna himself says, when he sees the trees, the fruit trees in Vrindavan, he remarks to Balaram, Etavan jammasapalyam dehi shuhidehinam prane ate diyavacha shreya, how's it? Shreya charanam sada, yes. So this is Lord Krishna's instruction. It is the duty of all human beings to work for the benefit of others with their words, with their life, with their wealth. with their body. Everything should be used to help others. Because, you know, we should look after our own bodies and not be falsely renounced, but at the same time, you know, we should try and help others. This is also a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Didichi, when the demigods approached Didichi to get his body, he said some very important verses, Etavayana Vyodhama, Punya Shloka Aparshita, means that if somebody is happy to see the happiness of others and unhappy to see the unhappiness of others, his religious principles are considered to be imperishable by those who are learned and wise. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is the topmost scripture, and it gives all these instances of great personalities who sacrificed everything. He gave up his body. The next verse he says, one who is not prepared to sacrifice his impermanent body for the welfare of others is certainly taken pity upon, even by immovable living beings. So, you know, even the trees and the plants, they feel sorry for you if you're not prepared to give up your body to help others. So, because the body, you know, is perishable, it's going to die. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the one who does good is never overcome by evil. So, do we believe in Krishna? So the more good you do, the less you'll be haunted by evil. So we have to try to do as much good as we can. Of course, we know that the topmost welfare activity is to try to spread Krishna consciousness, because that's the real need everybody has. Nobody can be happy without Krishna. So we are trying to we're trying to actually preach and tell people about Krishna. Actually, the greatest charity you can give is to give people a holy name. So we should go around like this one devotee in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I can't remember his name. He would go around and induce everybody to say, chant that Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. So you can go out and meet people and then ask them to say the Hare Krishna mantra, and you'll be doing them the greatest favor, giving them the greatest benefit. Because when we go on Harinam, we may not realize it, but when the trees and the plants and the human beings and all the living entities hear the holy name, they will get liberation. That's why Prabhupada wanted everybody to go with the Sankirtan party, so that the holy name would resound loudly in every town and village. So this is the purpose of Krishna, the Hare Krishna movement, is to try to help others. That's how you help yourself. If you really want to help yourself, you have to help others. If you don't want to help yourself, don't help others. So, because, you know, that's being really selfish. We criticize selfish people. But actually, to be really selfish is to go and help others, because that's how you perfect your life. That's how you get the mercy. So we should be really selfish and go out and preach to people. Or help, you know, help ISKCON in whatever way we can. Everybody's different. We all have different talents. But, you know, we shouldn't be so concerned with our body. As Maharaj Parikshit, he said, Tiraskrita vipralabdha shaptashipta tarapi nasyata parikurvanti tad bhakta prabhupihi. Anyone know this one? He knows it. Okay, what does it mean? That's right, yeah. So a devotee of the Lord is so forbearing that even if he is killed, blasphemed, cursed, whatever, he is never inclined to avenge himself. So that is the... because we know we have our karma, whatever happens to us, we deserve it, or else we know that Krishna's... Because we've studied Krishna's life, we know Krishna wouldn't hurt a fly. So we know that whatever happens to us is for our benefit, so we don't protest. It's not so easy maybe, but this is the instruction of Lord Krishna, that whatever happens, we accept with grace and with humility, and we know that it's for our benefit. Prabhupada said, we should not hate the the instrument of our karma. You know, we have karma. If somebody attacks us, well, that's exactly what I deserve. So we shouldn't feel inclined to avenge ourselves. We don't want revenge. So, you know, the society would work very nicely if everybody tried to help others. But we're not taught that in the modern age. We're taught to get ahead, to exploit others, to get as much money as you can, to get the nicest possible car you can, to have as much money as you can, and, you know, just live for yourself. But this will never make you happy. That's the problem. You'll simply be frustrated, and you will eventually go to hell. Because there's even a hellish planet. If you don't offer your enemy a place to sit and a glass of water, so, and some kind words, so, you know, it's easy to go to hell. And we see, if you look around the world, you'll see so many people in really hellish conditions of life. So many people starving to death. So many people, you know, being stoned or being attacked in different ways. Just, material world's a very scary place. The longer I'm here, the more I realize how this world is just really... When I was young, I just didn't totally believe it. I thought, well, you know, you can have a bit of fun here and there, but it's really fraught with danger. So you have to be very serious. You want to get out of the material world. You don't want to come back. If you read about the descriptions of the spiritual world, then you hear about the beautiful structures in the spiritual world, the beautiful buildings, and just amazing. You know, why would he want to stay here? It's just a hellish place. So we should try to, you know, not just live simply and try to give people Krishna consciousness and uphold Vedic Dharma, giving in charity, giving to brahmacharis, feeding people, always try to take some prasadam out with us. Even if it's just an apple. I don't take apples, but if we can make some cookies or some sweets, this will benefit everybody. So then the next verse is also part of today's program. This is a, okay, well, this is text number 44. I'll say the Sanskrit and then we'll read the translation. Kachit prastatamanata hridayanatma bandana shunyasmi raito nicham manyaseta nyata naruk. What does rook mean? Anyone know? Oh, it's up. Okay, so rook. Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for you becoming so dejected. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the inquisitiveness of Maharaj Yudhisthira about the world situation was already conjectured by Maharaj Yudhisthira on the basis of Lord Krishna's disappearance from the vision of the world. And this was now disclosed by him because of the acute dejection of Arjuna, which could not have been possible otherwise. So even though he was doubtful about it, he was obliged to inquire frankly from Arjuna on the basis of Sri Narada's indication. So the disappearance of Lord Krishna is very nicely described in the 11th canto, which I read this morning, and I'm going to read it a little bit. It's very interesting how Krishna left the planet. It's a short chapter. I'm just going to read the verses. Sukadev Goswami said, then Lord Brahma arrived at Prabhas along with Lord Shiva and his consort, the sages, the Prajapatis, and all the demigods, headed by Indra. The forefathers, siddhas, gandhavas, vijadaras, and great serpents also came. Great serpents, I wonder who they were. Along with the charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, kinaras, apsaras, and relatives of Garuda, greatly eager to witness the departure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As they were coming, all these personalities variously chanted and glorified the birth and activities of Lord Shari, Krishna. O King, crowding the sky with their many aeroplanes, they showered down flowers with great devotion.
Wow.
Seeing before him Brahma, the grandfather of the universe, along with the other demigods, who are all his personal and powerful expansions, the Almighty Lord closed his lotus eyes, fixing his mind within himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all the worlds, and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. As soon as Lord Sri Krishna left the earth, truths, religion, faithfulness, glory, and beauty immediately followed him. Kettle drums resounded in the heavens and flowers showered from the sky. Most of the demigods and other higher beings led by Brahma could not see Lord Krishna as he was entering his own abode, since he did not reveal his movements. But some of them did catch sight of him, and they were extremely amazed. Just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. A few of the demigods, however, notably Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, could ascertain how the Lord's mystic power was working, and thus they became astonished. All the demigods praised the Lord's mystic power, and then return to their own planets. My dear King, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays with it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestation. Lord Krishna brought the son of his guru back from the planet of the Lord of Death in the boy's self-same body. And as the ultimate giver of protection, he saved you also when you were burned by the Brahmastra of Ashvatthama. He conquered in battle even Lord Shiva, who deals death to the agents of death. And he sent the hunter Jarad directly to Vaikuntha in his human body. How could such a personality be unable to protect his own self? Although Lord Krishna, being the possessor of infinite powers, is the only cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of innumerable living beings, he simply did not desire to keep his body in this world any longer. You can't blame him. Thus he revealed the destination of those fixed in the self and demonstrated that this mortal world is of no intrinsic value. Anyone who regularly rises in the morning and carefully chants with devotion the glories of Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental disappearance and his return to his own abode will certainly achieve that same supreme destination. As soon as Daruka reached Dwaraka, he threw himself at the feet of Vasudeva and Ugrasena and drenched their feet with his tears, lamenting the loss of Lord Krishna. Daruka delivered the account of the total destruction of the Vrishnas, and upon hearing this, O Parikshit, the people became deeply distraught in their hearts and stunned with sorrow. Feeling the overwhelming pain of separation from Krishna, they struck their own faces while hurrying to the place where the relatives lay dead. When Devaki, Rohini, and Vasudev could not find their sons, Krishna and Rama, they lost consciousness out of anguish. Tormented by separation from the Lord, his parents gave up their lives at that very spot. My dear Parikshit, the wives of the Yadavas then climbed onto the funeral pyres, embracing their dead husbands. The wives of Lord Balaram also entered the fire and embraced his body. And Vasudeva's wives entered the fire and embraced his body. The daughters and lords of Lord Hari entered the funeral fires of their respective husbands, headed by Prajumna, and Rukmini and the other wives of Lord Krishna, whose hearts were completely absorbed in him, entered his fire. Arjuna felt great distress over separation from Lord Krishna, his dearmost friend, but he consoled himself by remembering the transcendental words that he had sung to him. Jai. Lord Krishna ki jai. So, because we're also taught that separation is from Krishna is also the highest ecstasy. And there's an interesting pastime in this amazing book by Shiva Ramaswamy. I recommend everybody to read it. It's a wonderful book, Sankalpa Kamodi. It's quite big. Goes along with his other big books. He's written 8 books, and they're all about 800 pages in length. It's pretty amazing. This one's 900. He outdid himself. So this is a pastime when Lord Ram was actually in Navadvip. It's in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. So he was talking to Sita Devi. He said, "O lotus-eyed one, when will you make your why will you make your mother cry? Why will you give up your wife and take sannyas? What happiness is there in giving such sorrow to your mother and wife?" Sri Ram replied, "O dear one, you know everything, but you are acting in this way just to teach the living entities. Listen, Sita. My devotees relish prema bhakti in 2 ways. In union with me, they enjoy sambhoga, and in separation from me, they enjoy vipralamba. My eternal associates desire sambhoga, but I mercifully give them vipralamba. Why? The devotees know that distress due to separation from me is actually the topmost bliss. And after separation, when union occurs, they feel happiness so much greater than before, 1,000,000 times multiplied. That is why I separate from those I love the most." Fear of being separated from her Lord made Sita Devi silent. But within, she was guardedly, curious about the excessive bliss that could be tasted in separation. Knowing that his beloved's mind, Lord Ramachandra, silently vowed that he would, make Sita taste the bliss of Vipralamba. And so he arranged for Ravana to kidnap her in Panjabati forest. So anyway, it's pretty interesting. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a Yuga avatar. And as such, he came to teach us what is the religious principle for this age. So we know that chanting Hare Krishna is, he composed the Shikshastakam, which are the most important instructions that we have. And he glorifies the holy name. And the seventh verse, of course, is the stage we're all trying to achieve. Yugayatam namashinai chakshusha pravisayatam sunyayasam jagatsavam govindamiramahenami virahenami. That when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? So this is our desire, that we want to cry in ecstasy when we chant Hare Krishna, but this is a, it's not so easy, as you may know. It requires great determination and constant trying to go deeper and chant more seriously and more attentively. And this is, it's no easy feat, but it is the only way, and it is the only goal of the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself, he demonstrated the greatest symptoms of Vipralamba, because he was acting as a devotee, and he was trying to teach us the method of how to achieve this mood of separation, which Prabhupada also mentions at length, that, you know, the Goswamis, they weren't, they never said they were with Krishna. They said, "Oh Krishna, where are you?" This was their mood in executing Krishna consciousness. So we should feel the separation of Krishna. We should hear about Krishna and understand about Krishna and Radharani and all their associates, and actually what is the nature of the spiritual world and what is the nature of the pastimes and activities of Krishna. And by hearing about Krishna, we will be able to meditate on Krishna. If we don't know about Krishna, how can we meditate upon him? So it's very important to hear about Krishna, and also to hear about Lord Chaitanya, because he, by his example, he wanted to show us that this is how we're supposed to think. And when he was, well, when he was dancing at the Rathyatra festival, he was dancing very ecstatically. Kirtan is very important. So we should be absorbed in kirtan because it's the holy name. And at the same time, we should remember Lord Chaitanya's mood. Here at dancing at the Rathyatra, he would foam at the mouth, and that foam was very valuable. And one lucky person got the foam. Who was that? Who? No. Shubhananda. Shubhananda got the foam. So he was very lucky, and it's said that his dance was devastating. Devastating, just, huh? Well, it's like when you see someone, like sometimes the word devastating can be used to describe a very beautiful member of the opposite sex. You know, she was devastatingly beautiful. Means like when you see that person, you become bewildered. Not too many people like that, actually. But there are a few. You get confused when you see someone extremely beautiful. Or you just admire them. If you, Prabhupada said, you know, you can look at girls as long as you remember that, you know, they're not to be enjoyed by you, that everything is to be enjoyed by Krishna. So, you know, so Krishna created some beautiful people. But sometimes someone is so beautiful that it's devastating to look at them. So his dance was devastating. When you would see him dance, it was just blow your mind, so to speak. Anyway, so when he was dancing in his ecstasy, Jagannath was on the cart, and he said this verse. Well, he got Swarup Damodar to sing this very beautiful verse. This verse is, I don't have a good memory, so I have to write things down. But all these verses are wonderful to read them in the chapter of the Lord's Dancing at the Rathyatra, to read the feelings expressed by Lord Chaitanya in the mood of separation from, you know, Krishna as Radharani. So this verse, now I have gained the Lord of my life, in whose absence I was being burnt by Cupid and I was withering away. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breeze is blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Rava, under the Vaitasi tree. So, you know, by reading these verses, we understand the mood of Radharani, and we understand the mood of the gopis. And Prabhupada, even in 1968, he was exhorting his followers to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Because this is what Lord Chaitanya gave. Okay, we can, you know, say it's, some people may say it's sahaja and all that, but we don't care. This is what Prabhupada was preaching in 1968. Brand new people. We're following in the footsteps of the gopis. So it's not that we think we're gopis, but at the same time, we're trying to have this mood of separation. You know, where is Krishna? We want to be with Krishna. We don't, you know, we don't want to be in the material world. We don't want to necessarily take birth again. I mean, we know that it's a very kind of, what's the word, charitable attitude to want to come back birth after birth and try to help the living entities. And there is a lot of bliss in preaching. Preaching is the essence. Preaching is what sustains us, you know. But at the same time, we really hanker to be with the residents of Vrindavan, one way or another, as a cow or a dog. So we have to try to cultivate this mood of feeling separated. And this book is all about that. It's all about the mood of separation and, you know, making determinations to come to a higher level. Because we have to constantly increase our devotion, increase our focus, increase our knowledge, increase all of our devotional attributes. Any way that we can actually get out of the material world is by increasing, becoming better devotees. So you know, it's just like Prabhupada gives the example of gold. When they smelt gold, you know, they get all the impurities out. So we have to get all the impurities out so that the love that is dormant within our hearts becomes so focused on Krishna. And of course we have to really develop that devotion for Radharani, because it's only by pleasing Radharani that we can please Krishna. So we have to maybe study the books of Raghunath Das. What's it called? Vilapa Kusumanjali. Shiva Ram Swami is writing a commentary to the Vilapa Kusumanjali, which should be very interesting. He's getting Gandharvaka to do a number of paintings for it, all about Radharani and Rati Manjari's relationship with Radharani, how she wants to clean Radharani's drains. I don't know how they have drains in Vrindavan, but she wants to clean the drains of Radharani with her hair. It's just a very wonderful, so devotional, so beautiful poetry. All these great personalities have given all this knowledge, so we should take heed of the instructions of Narottam Das Thakur. When will I be eager to study the books of the Goswamis? This is so important, to constantly hear about Krishna. So anyway, it's getting late, but thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai. Any questions or anything? Yes.
Yeah.
Which quote?
The quote about Ram speaking with Sita.
Where was it from?
But that's from Bhaktivinoda, you said. But does it say where he got, where he, there was just some, it's not Ramayana or anything like that?
No. It's, I don't know, I've lost the place. I'll try to find it later. I mean, he's got,
You also mentioned the six, you mentioned...
Once in Navadvipa, Lord Ramachandra informed Sita Devi that Navadvipa would be the place of his appearance in Kali Yuga. You mean that one?
Yeah.
That is 23, Sri Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, chapter 14, page 61.
That happened in Navadvipa.
Yeah, well, he must have gone to Navadvipa. Navadvipa's a holy place.
Only Bhaktivinoda knows about that.
Yeah, well, he's...
You said that there was a certain
pretty
hell.
Pretty well, back to Manoa.
There's a hell if you don't treat your enemies with and give them water. And
yeah.
On the other hand, is I think you can go to hell if you don't have six enemies and they're aggressors. There's no hell, you know, for destroying your enemies. Even the whole Bhagavad Gita is based on that. That Arjuna did not. He thought he'd go to hell by fighting his grandfather and Drona and Bhishma and all that. And Krishna said,
well,
no.
You're allowed to defend yourself, but if your enemy comes
so how do you
to you,
offer
he,
water?
Wait a minute. If your enemy comes to you and he's thirsty, you have to give him a glass of water.
And then, if
it's
he,
when he comes to you without his weapons and he's had a grudge against you for many lifetimes, but he's given up his weapons,
okay.
But you still have a grudge against him and you don't offer him a glass of water, you have to go to hell.
That, when Lord Chaitanya is doing that dancing in Narathiyatra, it's called Alataka Chakra, which is looks like a firebrand. You can't even see. This is, I mean, we're not, you know, don't try this at home. But you can't see him. It's like when you're spinning a torch or anything, even a flashlight. And it's just like a continual circle.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's almost, it's one of those things.
Yeah, it's all inconceivable. But... Okay, Mataji, you had a question at the back?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sri Devi. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a very nice class. I'm just thinking how you're so into, you know, like cow protection and agriculture, you know, sort of like the real economy.
But you then got it too close to your mouth. Okay, try
that. Did you hear it?
Yeah, you said like cow protection, agriculture is all part of...
How you're so into cow protection.
Who, and me? You're talking about me?
Yeah, yourself, like Vedic.
I just like the milk products.
Like agriculture and like living off the land and all that. But, and then you yourself came from a, if I'm correct, because I did that article with yourself, you came from a sort of affluent or... like, aristocratic background?
Definitely not aristocratic. My mother wanted to be aristocratic, and she wanted me to... She would put on an accent, "Oh, my dear Adrian, what are you up to now?" But I wasn't aristocratic, no. I went to a private school, though.
I'm saying, like, how did you transition from, you know,
to
like...
To being
what,
a farmer? What is
or just, yeah, I mean, just not a farmer, but just, like, what... When did the bell go off? That like this is
when do I realize?
Yeah, realized, because you came from like a very different background.
I was a fashion photographer in London, Chelsea, the hippest part of London. But I realized, you know, in about 1990, it dawned on me that without cow protection and without farm communities, that our movement would never be successful. Because, you know, we're not supposed to just, you know, enjoy reading and chanting, but we're supposed to show people how to live, and we're supposed to walk the talk. And seeing as, you know, Krishna's Gopal, he's the lover of the cows, you know, we have to follow Prabhupada. I mean, Prabhupada was so anxious to establish Varnashram. It was a big thing for him. That there's a very interesting, well, this one devotee, Tukaram Prabhu, he did an interview with Namras. I watch him sometimes, some of them are interesting. The late morning show. Tukaram was talking about cow protection. He was the first temple, so he says, probably true, to have himsa free dairy offered to the deities, at least in America. Ahimsa dairy, yeah, ahimsa dairy. So basically, I thought about it, and then I decided to buy some land because somehow or other I got some money. So, you know, I came to America because the land is cheaper here. Much cheaper than the UK, much cheaper than even than India, in fact. America, that's one good thing about America, is that there's lots of land and it's comparatively cheap. That's when I first came here. And because I really believe in it, I really believe that, for one thing, this society we live in can collapse at any moment. I mean, Prabhupada said it over and over again. It can easily collapse. And we don't know how to feed ourselves, and you know, we don't have cows. Generally, people don't have cows, so what are we going to eat? Aside from that, you know, cows, according to Ayurveda, you can't be healthy without cow's milk, without cow's produce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we don't have cows, we're not following proper health regulations for human beings, and you know, somewhat hypocritical, really, that, you know, we talk about the holy cow, but we buy dairy. So I like to, you know, I just believe in it, and that's why I respect Shivaranda Swami so much, because he's the smartest person I know. Not only does he write amazing books, but he has the most amazing farm community. And, I mean, I would recommend everybody, as if they want to see something really fantastic in ISKCON, they should go to Hungary and they should see the farm that Shiva Ramaswamy has made there. Not only that, but even the city temple of Budapest is such a beautiful temple. It's so clean. It's just so well organized. Everything is so well organized. It's amazing. Yeah, he's from Laguna, but he's got a vegan... he believes in cow protection, but he's got a vegan restaurant in Long Beach. And he's got an ashram there. He's a smart person. They don't have enough milk. I mean, basically, that's why you need farm communities, which is what Prabhupada wanted. You know, Prabhupada didn't really want cities in the temple. I mean, temples in the city, excuse me. Cities in the temple. He wanted, you know, restaurants and reading rooms in the cities. That's what he wanted. And then he wanted the farm communities to supply the produce and the milk products for the restaurants in the city. Yeah, that's what he wanted. He wanted devotees to move out of the cities and live in the country. But, you know, they've moved out of the cities and they live around here. But, you know, but they work regular jobs, so it doesn't quite work. It's better. But he said, because then he was told, well, you know, they watch TV and stuff. So, it's a conversation with Rameshwar. So he said, well, that's still better to get him out of the city and live in the country than live in the, you know, than live in the city. Why? Say that again. Why what? Well, I don't know. You have to ask him. But I mean, yeah. But I mean, yeah, that's true. I'll ask him. Maybe he meant the first city temple to have a Himsa milk. He's always difficult, Pushka. I'm gonna give him your phone number and tell him to call you up. What chapter of what? Oh, I mean, it's in the 11th canto, it's right there, Krishna's departure. Well, they can look it up. Sorry, I'll look it up right now. This is chapter 31, 11th canto. I don't know why I said he's the first one to have it.
Good book, then she should read this book, though.